This is the Producers Podcast,
featuring the most respected international talent in the world of audio production and voiceover.
TV, radio, film, and more.
In-depth interviews and industry insights, putting you on the inside.
Learn more at ryandreen.com.
The Producers Podcast
with Ryan Dreen.
And we are here, Producers Podcast. I appreciate you listening. A couple things to mention here in the intro. But first, Wendy K. Gray, the great pal of mine who has lent me her voice. I was able to update the intro finally. I kind of liked the intro I had, so I never updated it, but figured I'd mix it up a bit. So thanks to Wendy for doing that for me. It's very nice of her. And then Brian Cooney, of course. I can't live without my signature voice, who I'm pretty sure I saw him or heard him voicing the promos for the massive new show, The Passage, based on that book. Pretty confident that's Brian. I didn't double check, but I mean, I've listened to his voice intro this show long enough. I am pretty confident. So anyway, thanks to both of them as always. Hey, if you could do me a favor and rate and review this show, it'd be so awesome. I'm not making money off this thing or anything, but you know, the more people that get to check it out, the better. And if you wouldn't mind doing that over at the iTunes or wherever the heck you get your podcasts, I don't really care. That'd be helpful. And, oh, a little warning. I was going to throw a small warning. I hope you enjoy the show. I do hope you listen. But I have a bit of a unique audience. And there's a lot of people that are kind of in the voiceover world and listening for those guests. And this episode isn't really for you. It might be for you if you want to hear about radio imaging production, especially when someone is using Ableton to do it and really talking some inside baseball audio nerdy geeky junk plugins and ways to manipulate Ableton to do radio imaging production, then great. But like I said, this episode's pretty specific. I had a blast talking to Nick about that, so I know there will be plenty of other people that will really enjoy this because I have spent almost no time on Ableton in the past. But that will bring me to talk about my guest, Nick Schmann. He is in Slovenia. I will say most of the words incorrectly, but I am ready to be corrected at any time. Like Nick's name. Pretty confident I screwed that one up a few different times. But nickschmon.com, N-I-K-S-M-O-N. You can check him out there. He's on Twitter and LinkedIn too, but I think he's got more happening on SoundCloud. SoundCloud.com/Nick Schmann, N-I-K-S-M-O-N. I'll have links in the show notes page too, which leads me to my final point here. Show notes page is filled for this episode. Not every episode has a show notes page. This one does. A lot of audio, the extended version of the demo I'll play here in just a minute. Pictures. He gave me lots of pictures to put on there. And finally, links. He mentions a number of different plugins and free tools and just some stuff that you may not have heard of before that he really enjoys. And I will have the links to those on the show notes page as well. All right, freelance producer based in Slovenia, working for brands all around, though. I think by virtue of his geography, you know, he's going to be working for stations that are not in his own country, which is pretty cool. He's always looking for more, but he's doing some excellent, very musical radio imaging production. Very skilled at that musical branded intros. And maybe at the end of the episode, we talk about something special that's coming out soon as well. But I welcome in the one and the only Nick Schmann.
Antenne.
Immer einen Hit voraus.
What's the trick? I wish I knew.
Radio SI Music.
But I say no, no, no.
From this.
Don't be afraid to catch feels. You're not the one for me. Woo! Ride yourself and chase feels.
Feels with
you. With you.
You want to know. You've got to take her out.
Okay. Do this.
My heart is beating like a jungle drum.
I got no
sound.
Radio SI, your home of music.
Antenne,
Antenne.
Immer einen Hit für raus.
One kiss is all it takes. Falling in love with me.
is a big old batch of work. I have more to listen to, though, from the guest today out of Slovenia, or Slovenia, as I'm told it's completely proper to say, Nick Schmon. Now, right out of the gate, Nick, say your name correctly, because even though I just learned how to say your name correctly, now correct me and tell me how I should really say your name.
You're very close, I would say. Okay. I would say, like, you were 87%. So
87.
So it's Nick Schmon.
Schmon. So yes. Is it like Schmon? Like, how would it rhyme with? I know you said
on. Turn it on.
Okay, so Schmon. It's more like on as opposed to on. Okay, got it. Nick Schmon. Hey, man, dude, we've known each other now for a couple of years. We've emailed a ton. We were just chit-chatting before we started the interview. Dude, I love your work. We heard the demo there. You do great stuff. So I'll pay you a real nice compliment right out of the gate. Great
Thank
work.
You.
I'm really happy to have you here.
Thank you. I'm flattered. Thank you very much, man.
Means nice. So I want to start. In fact, I'm going to start by talking about some of the audio I just heard in the demo. But I do want to talk more kind of like worldly stuff and hear about just your life in general and where you live and all that stuff, if it's cool. But just to kind of not so much warn people, but give them a highlight, we're going to be talking Ableton today, because that is your DAW of choice.
Yes.
Right? So applause. We'll get it. I don't really do a lot of sound effects, but that was good. We'll get into the Ableton in this episode. Certainly more. And maybe, I'm not sure if I've really talked about Ableton a lot on this podcast. So this will be a great show for people looking to sort of expand their reach or just learn about a DAW, if you will, that they may know nothing about, or they may have tried and just decided to throw away because it wasn't for them. But
that's
let's
fantastic.
Start with the demo audio there.
All right.
Clearly, you have, you know, music theory in your brain, in your skill set. A lot of things are on tempo. You're real good at manipulating tempo. I noticed that. So, you know, something might be sitting at about 100 BPM and you cleanly bring the entire mix up to 120 or 130. How do you start when you're making anything in audio production? Do you have a typical way you start a piece?
I have my template, which I renew every, I would say, every 3 to 4 months, but it's not such a big renewment. It's just adding or removing some stuff that I don't use a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I usually start with an empty canvas, you could say, and Ableton has this really nice feature. It has two kinds of views, like you would say in Pro Tools, maybe you see the mixer and then you see the arrangement view, right? In Ableton,
yeah,
it's the same.
Or edit view. Yeah.
Yeah. You have the mixer view, and above that, you have the clips, the clip view. So you throw the tracks into those slots, any tracks you want. I mean, any piece of audio you want. And you can play around with it really quickly because it immediately guesses the tempo, most of the times correctly, of the songs. And then you can just like play them together and see, oh, that works. Oh, that doesn't work. Oh, that works. Oh my God, that works. That works really well. I didn't know, because, you know, sometimes some things are, the software I'm using, mixed in key, wouldn't tell you that they're in the same key. But somehow, on some occasions, some things work, although they're not in the same or in the compatible key.
So if you have your wheel of fifths or whatever, and you should be using these two keys together, suddenly these two keys sound correct, and you may not have known it just by using the science, if you will.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just by looking at the notes and stuff, we would go, oh, this probably doesn't go together. But then you can, like I said, quickly put it in and just listen to it and like sometimes discover interesting combinations.
So
and the second thing I do when you ask how I start, the second thing I do is if I don't know the song, I try to listen to it a few times to get it into my brain. And then when I listen like to all the songs that I have, or maybe I choose 5 or 6 that I will use in the next promo, I kind of, you know, it might sound silly, but I sing it. You know, I just go, I sing the chorus of one song, and then I try to connect it like in my head or out loud, but not really loud. I try to connect it like that. You know, I go like, da, 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 da. Oh, okay, that works. And then I try it. And if it works, great. If it doesn't, then I try something else.
So you almost do like your own little previews before you put a lot of legwork into it in your head or out loud.
Right.
Just to kind of see if where you think it should go,
right.
if it should go that
right.
way.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's cool. We heard a lot of stuff there. Clearly, a lot of music mixing. You're mixing different, you know, types of songs, a lot of tempos and keys and whatnot. Generally, like, what are those for? I mean, we'll get into your job here in a bit, but you're making music promos. Do those stand alone? Are those always going to be mixed together with other? You just tell me basically what all that stuff is for.
What all that stuff is for? That's an interesting question. I would say, from my point of view, and probably the point of view of the PDs, it's like a little compact, nice-sounding showcase of what the station is about musically. So, in which what can you expect from the station to hear today, or in the, I don't know, like what are you about? That's the purpose of this thing. So when a listener is in the car and like hears, oh, I like this song. Oh my God, I like this song too. Oh, this is a new song, but this goes together well. It's something like that. That's what I would say.
And some of the stuff that I heard in that demo, for example, it was even hard to tell. I mean, it was so well done. It was hard to tell where maybe one piece began and one ended, etc. Generally, how long are some of those music mixes you're making, and where do they play on the air? In between songs, in a commercial break, that kind of a thing?
They are positioned, many times they're positioned after the commercial break, so like half and a half hour. So there's a big commercial break, and after that, like, they go back to music and they play this to like get the listener back into the musical mood and stuff like that. Or they play songs in a row, like three or four songs in a row, and they have this as the breaking point between many songs, to not have just songs and just like regular imaging, to like convey more music and like this.
Awesome. All right, let me switch gears, because we're going to go a lot more into the sort of tech, the real nerdy stuff a little bit later. You are currently in Slovenia. I'm going to say Slovenia
Correct.
Like you would say it, if that's cool.
Cool.
Because one of these days I'll come visit you, and it'll be just like I'm a local.
Oh,
I'm
man,
sure
you should.
No one will know him.
You really should come visit, because it's a really beautiful country. Really. I'm not saying that just because a Slovene, because I'm a Slovene, but other people that come here say this, like tourists that come here. I think especially Americans are really impressed, because they have never heard of it, and then they come here and like, wow, this is like a little gem, and like, yeah, you would definitely enjoy it. Definitely.
Man, I actually was doing a little research on your country, because I, just to be candid, I didn't know much about it, and I've met not just you, I met some other people from there at the conference, you know, a couple years ago that we'll possibly talk about later. But anyway, what part of the country are you in currently?
I'm in the, you could say, northeastern part. It's the second largest city. It's a town compared to your cities. It has like 100,000 inhabitants. It's called Maribor. And it's surrounded by a beautiful hill and forests and like beautiful nature, and a river runs through it. It's a cozy little town.
How do you say the capital of Slovenia?
It's a tongue twister, right? It's Ljubljana.
Ljubljana?
The first L is with a, I don't know, with a Y, you could say. Like,
okay.
Ljubljana. Ljubljana,
Yeah, that I had seen it written, and I couldn't remember ever hearing someone say it, you know, so I wanted to at least get the capital city said correctly.
To you, it probably looks like Ljubljana, right?
Yeah, well, it's Ljubljana. Yeah. That's how it's spelled, so I wasn't even going to attempt it.
Just to replace the J's with the Y, and then maybe you can get closer to the,
I'm still not going to try, because I think I would be
I'd really like to hear it, though.
Okay, fine, I'll try. Ljubljana. Ljubljana?
Yeah, pretty close. We're at, we would say, 73%, right?
73%.
Can you do more?
All right. I'll save that for the end.
Okay.
I'll edit it in post. I'll make it sound like I knew what I was talking about in post. The other thing I was going to say is I've become a bit of a soccer fan. I'm going to still call it soccer, but I've become a bit of a soccer fan over the last few years. I had heard of one team, and now I believe you live in the town that your best team by far is, right?
Oh my
Maribor?
God. Yeah, it
NK,
could be.
NK Maribor?
I would,
the Purples?
If I would really pay attention to football, then this, what you just said, could be very well right.
Could be true, but you don't even know, because you
don't
pay
even
attention
know,
to
man.
Football.
Seriously. I mean, yeah.
All right.
But
well, I had to double check myself because I had thought I had heard of a team from Slovenia, and I think Slovenia made it to the World Cup a couple times now.
Yes, that I know. That I know. They did. And I think it was Maribor. Yes, I think it was Maribor.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. My friends are going to kill me.
Well, I think they were in the Champions League in the last few years, possibly.
Yes.
But it doesn't matter.
Yes, I think so.
Well, whatever. This ain't a soccer podcast. That's for sure.
Yeah,
because we would be. Here's something else.
Whatever you can do to put our country on the map, it's really good. So I support that.
And then I was on Wikipedia. Here's something I didn't know, but I didn't know exactly when this was. I didn't look too much detail, but when Slovenians were immigrating away from the country, I guess this was probably a long time ago. Most of them went to America, and in America, most of them went to Cleveland.
Yes.
Did you know that the biggest population is in Cleveland?
I heard that, actually. It's true.
And Cleveland turns out some of the best radio imaging people, like per capita.
No way.
It's crazy how many just absolute monsters have come out of Cleveland. So there's something in the blood, something in the Slovenian blood. The Slovenes are it's imaging. There's something going on there, but they all went to Cleveland. And anyway,
well, you just blew my mind, man. Thank you. I thought that was
all right. The last thing I was curious about: are you older than your country? I actually don't know how old you are.
You don't know how old I am.
No.
Okay. How old do you think I am?
When I met you, I guess I would have guessed you were maybe late 20s or 30.
Watch it. Okay, yeah, I'm listening. Late 20s, yeah.
Okay, so I'm guessing you were actually older than that then.
Yes.
But I don't know, I'm going to put you in your 30s now because it's been a couple years since I met you.
Yeah, I'm a little bit over half 30s, let's say that.
Okay. So then, let me think here. Let me do some math. So you are older than your country then?
I am.
Yeah. So where were you born?
I was born in that country, in this country, in this city that I'm right now.
And so was it Yugoslavia or tell me how dumb I am?
It was. It was still Yugoslavia. True. We separated in 1991.
So did you have a rough childhood? Like, was there violence? Was it crazy? What was it like?
Not really. Okay. The thing is, the war, when it raged through Yugoslavia, Slovenia got the least of the whole war. Like other southern countries, Bosnia and Croatia and Serbia, they got really hit really bad. Slovenia had maybe, I don't know, I'm going to say something wrong now, but maybe a month maximum of a bad situation. And then things were like calmed down and it was okay. So, yeah. No, I didn't have a rough childhood. I had a beautiful childhood.
Okay.
It was amazing.
Good. Well, that's cool. That's good. I also noticed... So you were born in a socialist or, I guess, a communist country.
Yes.
You guys transitioned to democracy faster than just about any country in that region, I think.
It could be true. I'm learning new things today about history. That's amazing. I would never expect that.
I'm just curious because, I have a degree in history, but...
Okay, I see where it's coming from. Okay, good.
It's just so interesting to me. With a lot of stuff we take for granted living in the States, democracy, for example. But it's cool, when a country is able to transition like that so quickly. Anyway, maybe
I was that young that I don't even remember how that was.
Okay. So as far as audio and or radio, I'm gonna play a piece here in a minute. But first, tell me, what was your very first job or first experience working with audio?
Okay. My first experience working with audio was being a DJ. It was a big, a dream since I was, I think, 10 years old or something like that to become a DJ. And then when I was a teen, I will just shorten this really, really quickly. I became a DJ for 4 or 5 years when I was a teenager. And the co-DJ, the club I was playing, was working at a radio station, which I really, really liked from early childhood. And he said one night, hey, we need some people to be a on-air technician, would you be interested in that? And I was like, oh, of course, yeah, I love the station. Mm-hmm. And that's how I became a on-air technician, behind the mixing desk and stuff. And I got more and more interested in how to put the songs together. I was always that guy who was really can you say anal about it? I think you can, right? I was really like, there's a word I think they say frame fucker here. Some I heard that from a consultant here. Like, I was really like zooming in and like getting the beats on the perfect, you know, that it sounds, everything sounds perfect. That was me. And then I really got interested into production. And I remember this same friend who got me that job. I mean, who told me about that job. He got a tape from a friend. I don't know. He got a tape from the UK and they recorded Kiss FM UK on that tape, like just two hours of program. And I heard that and I was like, my mind was blown. I was like, I couldn't even understand what was happening. And from that moment on, I was like, I was obsessed with this. I wanted to reach that goal. And also, I don't know how far that goes, because if I look at SoundCloud and stuff, you don't see many Italian producers, not many Italian imaging guys. Italy has a really, really strong, deep, interesting, different radio culture than, I think, the whole Europe. And I listened to a lot of Italian radio stations back in the day, and that's also where I got a lot of influence from.
You can hear them literally where you live, because you're next to Italy?
Really, no. No? You can hear them when you go to the seaside. And when I went to the seaside, I had the Italian radio blasting all the time. Like,
so
constantly.
Where you live, do the mountains sort of mess up your ability to hear foreign stations? Can you really only just get local radio?
Yeah, we can get Croatian and Austrian. So that's to the south and to the north. That's what we can get. Like, Italian we can't, and some Hungarian maybe. But
let's see here. A lot of things popped out there, but I guess what was the first radio job there? Did you want to say the station?
Yeah, the station was Radio SI. That's the station we were talking before we were recording, I think.
Yep.
It's an international radio station, so they're aiming at the foreigners, at the visitors of the country or the expats who live in the country. So they speak three languages, Slovene, German, and English.
Okay.
And they have the info, I mean, news and traffic and everything that's in the foreign language. And they also aim at the people who travel through the country, because there's a lot of traveling, especially in the summer, because people go to the coast, to Croatia. And yeah, that's who they aim for. And I have a really broad music selection. They're a part of the national broadcaster, the public broadcaster.
Okay.
They have a really broad music selection and kind of specific. It's a little, I would say, I don't know, maybe a little bit to the alternative side and maybe a bit more quality. They try to put more quality music into it, not so much mainstream chart things, you know. And that's what I really liked about them from the get-go. And they continue to this day to be like that. Maybe they loosened a little bit because of numbers and everything, and all the other stations in the market are playing pop and they had to a little bit adjust, but still they try to keep their soul intact, and I'm still working for them to this day.
Oh, I thought so. Okay, that's really cool to hear. Now, you are 100% freelance now, right?
Yes, I am.
And so when did you, you had the job at the station, you were a DJ. Are you doing, like, is your entire living being done making audio production for radio? Is that 100% of your life now?
It is, I would say it's 80%, and the other 20% get filled up by occasional DJ gigs.
You still do that?
I still do that, yeah. I just enjoy the part, the technical part I enjoy, and I also enjoy the feedback part, you know, when you give people a song they really like, they like give you some energy back, and this is a great feeling. So I'm kind of addicted to that, and that's why I keep going for as long as I will be able to keep up with the music and everything, because it's changing a lot. So we'll see how long that will go.
Nice. I don't know if I said this. I know I told you before, but you speak very good English. So if I hadn't actually complimented
you
in
much.
The podcast.
But, thank you very much.
I was,
the credit goes to credit me. Goes to my best friend, who's an American who moved to Slovenia, I think now maybe 20 years ago. And he also works for that radio station that I was talking for about before.
Uh-huh.
And we're best friends, and I basically abused him because I was talking to him English all the time, and he had to talk English to me back. So I got a lot from him. So I have to.
And meanwhile, did he move there and he's wishing he could learn Slovene? Is it just said Slovene?
Slovene, yeah, perfect.
Yeah.
Did he know Slovene before he moved there? 97%, Ryan.
Yeah, I'll get there. I'll get there. I don't know if I'll get 100, but he's probably like, I want to learn Slovene. I need, you know, for my job,
exactly.
I need to learn this language better. And this jackass over here keeps talking to me in English.
Exactly. That's what happened. But everybody, I mean, he kind of, I guess he knew what I was doing. So with everybody else, he tried to talk Slovene, and he's very good at Slovene right now. Very
yeah.
good.
Now, you gave me a bunch of pieces of audio. We'll play a couple of them. But there was one interesting one I saw, and you were like, hey, let me explain why I gave that to you. It's a piece of Dave Fox production. I believe you said you heard it on this podcast. Should I play that first, and then we'll talk about it?
Go right ahead.
It's time for C100 Zootopia. Music's brightest come together for one night on one stage, and you can be there. Lawyers say we can't tell you who'll be there just yet. JJ will announce the complete lineup Monday at 5. Saturday, May 16th, iZod Center, C100 Zootopia 2009. Oh, look at that. We have 5 seconds left over. A little music, please. Save the date.
Okay, cool. So you talked about that, and a great piece of production from Dave Fox back in 2009, obviously, as he said it there. But the end is something you highlighted. So why was that piece of audio important to you?
That piece of audio was important because this ending piece, this like last 5 seconds, first of all, the witty comment at the end is great, and then how he took advantage of this spare time he had. And then how the songs are combined. They're combined in a very, you could say, chaotic way. But it comes off, for me at least, it comes off very natural. Although it's like purely chaos. But it's something I'm striving to, I'm struggling to actually achieve. Because I'm all about flow and all about perfect blends and like, you know, melting songs into each other, and this is like cut and put everything together. It reminds me a little bit, now that I found out about him, it reminds me a little bit of Mike Anderson, Sideshow.
Past guest of the podcast.
Yep. I mean, I heard of him before I saw the podcast, and I was blown away by his, you know, his it's very fast paced. It's very you can't expect anything what's going to happen. And this is what I love about this last part. Although it's what, 9 years old now, to me, it's still completely relevant, because I would have a hard time replicating it. You know, it's crazy. It's great. I love it.
So I think one thing I pulled out of that is you liked the surprise element of it.
Absolutely.
In fact, so making people, like, you know, coming out of left field would be a phrase
Absolutely.
We might use here.
And this is what I'm aiming for with my production always. I always try to do the surprising thing or something that somebody would not expect.
Have you ever made a piece of production that you were 100% satisfied with?
No.
And that's kind of what I assumed you'd say, but do you think you ever will, or are you always going to be ultra critical of what you're doing?
I hope so, that one day some piece of audio is going to come along and I'll be like, oh, you're the one, baby. But I don't know. I can't say.
You're the one, baby. Yeah, that's this is one of those sultry audio production podcasts, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know. I can't say this is art what I'm doing, because I would be downgrading art, maybe, I don't know. But people say that art is never finished, it's only abandoned.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So in that regard, I say that there's always something you could do better, or you could do more, or you could improve on. And that's why I don't know, maybe. But maybe one day I'll settle. I'll say, you know what, this is it, man. You can stop
I
now.
I don't know. I haven't known you that long, but I suspect you're not going to settle at any point. So
I don't think so either. Yeah.
I also think it's important to think of what we do as art, and not say, well, maybe it's not art. I think it is art. And what you're doing is art.
For me, it totally is art. For me. And when I hear other producers, what they do, for example, Steph Jensen, I'm not sure, from 538, or Chris Hardgers, or Simon Palframan, I'm also not sure.
Palframan?
He blows my mind.
Well, you brought up Kiss.
It's Yeah, Kiss FM UK. Yeah, this is like it's for me. It's absolutely art what those guys are doing. Absolutely, but for other people, it might not be. That's why I'm saying that. Like, I put a buffer on it. Uh-huh. So that nobody's offended or something. But for me personally, it's complete art. Yeah.
And let me maybe real quick, as far as your freelance work, how do you get new work? How many different stations are you producing for? How many different sort of entities are you producing for right now?
I think this is the hardest part of the job. It's getting new work and trying to get new clients and talking to new clients. This is the hardest part for me. I'm not that much of an open guy, you know, like be that one to attacking guy, or I don't know how to say. So this
is the
hardest.
You're not the hardcore salesman.
No, yeah. I'm not a salesman. No, that's true. I'm not. I'm a strong believer that quality should be selling itself, but it's not the case today. So I need to train my sales skills, I guess.
Well, what kind of things are you doing? Or, I mean, how have you acquired some of the clients you have? Is it, you know, making a phone call? Is it just word of mouth?
Yeah, I mean, the ones I kind of know, or I got to know, I could approach easier. But like a cold thing, I don't know if I could do that ever. I got approached, which helped a lot. For example, for Trill, I got approached by Anthony Timmers. He heard my stuff on SoundCloud. Same for Imaging Days. He said, hey, man, you should present your stuff. And I was like, yeah, of course. Who I do work? You ask who I do work for? Now, I'm doing for Antenna, which I've been doing for the last six years, oddly, mm-hmm. something like that. This is also, I got there because they liked what I was doing. So I didn't go like, hey guys, can I work for you? Because I'm unable to do that, actually. So
I think everybody can relate to what you're saying, by the way. It's very hard to sell ourselves.
Yes.
Some people do it, and they do it pretty well.
Yeah,
or they do it
obnoxiously. I would love to have that feature, but I don't have it. And I'm really also, I'm quite, how do you say, self, no.
You're an introvert, maybe?
I am. That's one thing, but self-conscious, is that the right word?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Like, about my work, I'm very, like, critical, and I'm like, oh, no, that's not good enough for them, I won't do that, no, you know? Uh-huh. And then I hold back for too long, and then I get discouraged, and things happen, and then I have to pick myself up again, and then start anew and say, okay, no, this is good, you could do that. So it's like a up-and-down process, you know, all the time.
Did I see that you're doing something for Studio Brussels?
Oh my God. You mentioned Studio Brussels? What are you doing, man? You want to stab my heart?
Oh, did I? What does that mean?
No, it's good. It's good. The thing is, I'm actually probably the biggest fan of Studio Brussels outside of Belgium. I can show. Oh, maybe there's some Belgians who are living abroad somewhere and they listen to Studio Brussels.
Yeah.
But like, as a non-Belgian guy, I'm probably the biggest fan, definitely, because I have it on my phone. I listen to it on my car. I use my data on Studio Brussels. So yeah, they're absolutely amazing. And I did one project for them, and that was it. Sadly, that was it. And I'm still to this day, I'm not really sure why. I mean, they were happy with it and everything. And Steven and I have a good relationship. We saw each other this year at the Radio Days, and when I saw him, I was like uber happy, and I talked to him and I said I have several ideas, and I do have several ideas, but I still didn't get back to him because I'm too self-conscious about my ideas. I'm like, no, I shouldn't mess this up, this has to be perfect before I send it out. So I'm still holding back to contact him. But
take my advice. I mean, I've known Steven now a while, we've done a few things together. That's one of these good examples, since you already have the, you know, you have the relationship, you know, reach out to the guy.
I know, but I don't want to blow
it,
you know.
Don't hold yourself back.
If I reach out to him, I want to reach out with him with some stuff that he's going to go like, oh, this is great, man. Not that he goes like, oh, yeah, this is interesting, you know. You know, that's my aim when I do stuff like that. But luckily what happened is I saw just real quickly, I saw that there was vacancy for a job at M&M, which is a sister station of Studio Brussels for VRT, the Belgian public broadcaster. And I said, well, what can go wrong? I'll apply. And I applied, and they were searching actually for freelancers. And I got rejected. Do you have a sound? You can play like the sad trombone or something like that.
Yeah. No, I'll just let that sit. But
I was rejected, but I mean, I wasn't fully rejected. The recruiter got back to me and said, hey, we liked your stuff. We'll put you on our roster. And if we have something that fits your style that we might need from you, we'll get back to you. And it happened. It happened this year. So I did something beautiful for M&M. I'm really proud of that, what I did. We can also play that if you want to. And it's the first, first piece of audio in the demo. Is the M&M stuff.
All right, let's hear that now.
When I heard
M&M,
I got a feeling.
I love it.
Put that record on again.
Music and more.
SoundCloud.com. I already mentioned this in the intro. SoundCloud.com/Nick Schmon. It's NikSmon, just in case people, but you can go, they can hear more of your stuff from M&M there, right?
True. Although I haven't been updating my SoundCloud lately, but I will.
Yeah, you'll
get better. Yeah, I'll get better. I mean, I reposted the stuff I did for them because they posted it on their VRT SoundCloud, and I reposted it, so yeah, they can hear it there.
So let me just really drastically switch gears, and if any of the other stuff we've been talking about comes up again, but Ableton. So I definitely wanted to devote a good chunk of time to this because I haven't really done that in a podcast. Now, here's what I kind of knew about Ableton. I got it 8 years ago, probably. It's been a long time. I loved the fact when I was trying to just first get into making loops and just some kind of random production music that I could drop little chunks of music in there. And like you had already mentioned, it was sort of just automatically matching all the tempos and the keys is what it sounded like. And I didn't really know how it was doing it. And that's all I knew about Ableton. Why did you start making radio production in Ableton?
Simon. Two words. Simon. Pal.
Palframan?
Palframan. I always want to say Palframan. I don't know why. Maybe it's my Slovene language because I'm...
Or I'm sorry,
Simon.
Wrong.
I'm sorry, Simon. No, you're probably saying it right. I'm just... yeah,
we both met him the same time, though, at 2014 Imaging Days, right?
That's where he blew my mind, and that's where he showed me that Ableton is perfectly capable of producing world-class extraterrestrial imaging, like the stuff he does. Before that, I was using Ableton only as a mix tool, like for mixing songs together, and then I exported that and put it in my DAW that I was using that back then, which was... Steinberg Wavelab. I don't know if you know.
Oh, okay.
It's also very basic. No automation. What else? No. Yeah, that's basically it. Yeah, no automation.
Did Steinberg invent the VST? Is that
they
true?
They did. Do you know? They did.
Yeah.
Amazing job, guys. Really.
Yeah. Okay. So you would kind of do part of the work in Ableton.
Yes.
And then you would kick your stems out and bring them into Wavelab and kind of do the rest.
Right.
And then Simon helped you realize that you don't need to do that. You can do everything in Ableton.
Exactly.
You mentioned in an email, though, when we were kind of going back and forth, that while Ableton does have some shortcomings, enough unique features that you love, that's why you just keep using it. So maybe we should start with these features that you love. And I think we even threw out like a top 10. Maybe that's a good way to start discussing this audio editor.
Definitely. I'd love to. I never felt the need that I need something else. I mean, it does have shortcomings when I see other DAWs, what they can do, especially Pro Tools with the editing and stuff. It's really fast that Ableton doesn't have that. Not even in the latest version, which I don't have, but it still didn't get to the level of editing that Pro Tools is. But yeah, the features, the first feature that is, it's just fast, you know, everything is very fast. I can do things that I couldn't do before in like two clicks. And this is what got me into the other part was the beat matching and everything. But yeah, I can go down a list. I wrote actually, when we were talking about it, I wrote a list of things. I pointed it out. I just have to find my notes. And
yeah, let me, while you're looking there, when you say fast, you know, while you're looking for that, I always like to know if you know, software is just generally lightweight. That'd be a term I would use. In other words, it's not a big resource hog. You open up Reaper, and it's like you're not even using software. The thing is, it just moves quickly. It doesn't suck a lot of resources. You can load plugins. And so Reaper I would consider to be very lightweight, yet feature-rich.
The installation file is also like tiny, right? 10 megabytes.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. It's really, really tiny. I wouldn't say that Ableton is light on resources because I can bring my computer to its knees without any problem. But that's probably also because of that's also because of other plugins. But still, it's not. I mean, yeah, it is, but it's not as lightweight.
But when you say fast, when you say fast, you just mean that it's it's very efficient. It's logical. You make
It's logical to me. It's shortcuts or stuff that I can get to. I can get to really fast, like immediately.
Yeah,
that's the first thing I want to point out. Like in Ableton, like I would say 94% of things are duplicatable. So imagine whatever you want to duplicate, you can duplicate it with the command D. So I want to
give me an example.
I want to duplicate that clip. Okay. I want to duplicate that envelope. Okay. I want to duplicate that track. Okay. I want to duplicate that plugin. Okay. I want to, I don't know, whatever comes to mind is duplicatable. Yeah. So this is like, for example, you have a really cool envelope of a filter and you would really like to use that somewhere else. You just copy and paste that envelope or duplicate it and use it on a secondary clip. I mean, this is, for me, it's indispensable. I abuse this shortcut constantly.
Cool. What's next?
What's next? I don't know. You can reply to what I mean, if there's a counterpart for that on Pro Tools, because I don't know.
I don't even want to. I want to learn about Ableton, to be honest.
Okay,
I don't want to be. Yeah, I wasn't gonna like defend Pro.
It's not a competition. Yeah, I would just like a comparison, maybe. You know, it's I'm not saying that Ableton is better. It's just a preference for somebody. And the interesting thing is, just today in the morning, I think, no, it was in the afternoon, I saw on Facebook in the radio imaging group, someone posted a video of an Ableton imaging session, like a hip-hop imaging session, and I replied to that, and we started a conversation, like how he was using Pro Tools for 23 years, and he moved to Ableton, and he's really happy with it, blah, blah, blah. So, it's moving, man. It's the movement has started.
So there's three of you out there making imaging with... Okay.
Oh my God.
It used to be two.
Yeah.
A few hours ago it was two. Now it's three. Got it.
Maybe there's some more hidden guys somewhere. I'm pretty sure.
Tell me some other cool things about Ableton you like.
Cool. So imagine you have a session, you have a track on that session with voiceover on it, with plugins on it that you really, really like, and you would like to use that exact same track in a different session. No problem. You open up the session, you just drag and drop that track into your new session with every plugin intact, with all the files on that track. With all the envelopes, with everything intact.
Yeah.
You can have
two sessions open at the same time.
No, it's not two sessions open. You go into the session file like you would go into a folder. And it opens up all the tracks like it would open up files.
Ah.
And then you just grab that track and drop it into your session on whichever position you want. So you want it in a, I don't know, in the voice track, and you want to put another voice track from another session into that voice track, no problem. You can do that. Or you can combine two sessions into one if you want to. You know, it's...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And you're doing this without having sessions open. You're doing it in the folder and the file structure.
Exactly. You have one session open and you want to import something from the other session, that you can do that without any problem.
Yeah.
I use that a lot because I have, I don't know, I have some vocals which I remember I used there and I had really nice processing on it. Cool. Okay, let's bring that in and use the processing, maybe exchange some vocals and I'm done. You know, it's really it's fast. Oh, yeah, copy and paste time. That means that you select, I don't know, any selection of your project and you can either like cut it and then you just shrink everything together. I use that a lot because I don't know, I decide that this track is too long and I have on the right side, I have like 1,000 clips and I don't want to move those clips by hand or like selecting them all and moving. I just select a portion of time and just cut it and it snaps together. Like, this is great.
Yeah.
And like expanding also works the same way as this. I don't know how special that is, but to me, it really helps.
It sounds like shuffle mode in Pro Tools, just for anybody who's listening.
Cool.
What about manipulating music? Do you have any cool tips or tricks or just thoughts on like what Ableton is doing when you're bringing music tracks in? Because it did seem to me to be sort of automatic on a lot of things.
It does, yeah. I think, what's it called now? Logic Pro X. I think they added this feature now, and it was like a big thing. Wow. You drop in your track, and it analyzes your BPM. Wow. Ableton had that since, I don't know, 2004. But that doesn't matter. Okay, what happens is you drop a track into it, and Ableton starts or doesn't start. You can decide in the settings. It starts analyzing the track. I think it measures the transients, and then the length of the whole clip, and then it calculates what the BPM should be. And with electronic music, it's like 97% times it's perfectly correct. Sometimes you have to adjust a little bit. And with live music, it's a bit different. You have to go in by hand and drop markers and then like put it on the grid and stuff. But once you get a hold of it, it's really easy. It goes like you don't even think about it. And it has several algorithms how it processes that sound. So you can have, like, if you have only drums, you have a different algorithm which works really well with drums. It preserves the transients so it doesn't, you know, muddy it up or something. Or if you have like a full song, it has a different algorithm, and the algorithm is really great. It doesn't get grainy, or it does when you do too much, but it goes a long way.
Interesting.
Effect racks. This is a really, really important feature. I think I talked about it at the imaging days. Effect racks is it's basically you can throw in. Wait, let me think about that. You have one track, okay? You have one voiceover track, right? And you want to process that voiceover track with, I don't know, 10 plugins, but you don't want to do it. How do you say serial? You want to do it parallel. So that means essentially that you would open 10 of those voiceover tracks and put one plugin on each of those tracks.
Yeah, or run it through like 10 buses in Pro Tools. I mean, might be a different way to say
this.
This
is what the effect rack is for. You can open up chains in that effect rack, and every chain has the source audio intact. It, only if you put a plugin in front of that. Because everything works like in a serial mode. If you put a plugin in front of that, then it gets processed. Otherwise, you get the clean sound, and you can process it 20 times if you want to differently, and then you can adjust the level of that processing separately, the pan of that processing. You can mute that processing if you want to, and it's really helpful for like complex sound design, or if you want to do like really crazy voices or whatever. Mm-hmm. You can do that really quickly on one track only. You don't have to like duplicate and then mix it or something. This is really cool.
And what's key there is you're not processing in serial and series, as you said, mm-hmm. where, you know, compressor into EQ, into compressor 3, into some phaser.
You can if you want to. On each chain,
you don't have to.
Yeah, you don't have to. On each chain, you can have 20 plugins, but then you have a parallel one, which you have again 20 plugins if you want to, you know, and you can then mix those two together.
And you can control the output independently of each plugin. And the big key here, though, is you can use this effect rack and do it one effect rack on one channel of voiceover and make it seem like you've created 10 different iterations of that voiceover.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then you can put in front or in the back new effects which affect the whole chain, like the input to the whole chain or the output of the whole chain, like if you want to put a limiter at the end. This is a great feature. And then it has, I explained that too, every effect rack has 8 knobs which you can map to any parameter in any plugin, and you can control plugins with those knobs. And it's really, for me, it's really great because I have that saved, so you can save all those effect tracks like you would say save, I don't know, a presets or something. And I have a unified thing, you know. I don't have to remember how this plugin looks like, where this knob is. I just know exactly, okay, I have it in Ableton, I have it written down where is what, and I just immediately can start working with it. this is what's really great, because it's like a unified form, or I don't know how else I can say that.
It's cool. A lot of these features, I can hear benefits. And there's a lot of benefit to using Ableton when you're doing anything with music. I mean, I think right out of the gate, it's why you'll see a lot of kind of home, like bedroom DJs and EDM producers are using Ableton because it makes working with music so easy. But you're also giving us some tips as to how you can then implement, you know, voiceover tricks. And obviously when making radio imaging, we're typically dealing with voiceover and music and effects.
True.
I don't want to take us off.
Side-chaining is also really easy, really fast to do in Ableton. Yeah. Like 3 clicks and you're done.
I remember that, actually. I want to say you gave me a picture of you. It's on the website at the Imaging Days. You look like an Ableton professor up there. I still remember. I think I was sitting like front row because I was just so keen on learning more about this. But side-chaining was a big deal, and I think Simon might have mentioned that as well when he did an Ableton session.
True.
So what's the big deal with side-chaining in Ableton? Because I know a lot of people will understand why side-chaining is important.
For me, side-chaining is important. I use it for example, if I do mashups and stuff, I use it. I use like a band pass side-chain. So with Ableton, you have stock plugins which you can select which band it will side-chain. So you have an a cappella and you want to put it on a track which has a lot of going on in that same frequency range. And you just put on that a cappella and that you side-chain it to the track so the vocal pops out more, you know? So
whenever the effect is to carve out the music whenever the vocal is there.
Exactly.
And instead of manually writing in automation, you're using a side-chain.
And you don't really hear that it's doing something, but it's doing something. You know, you don't hear.
Because you can do it lightly. Noticeable.
Yeah. 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 Because you just carve out, I don't know, in the from 1 to 3K. You just use that range, and it doesn't really, to a listener, it doesn't really, like, there's nothing missing. For example, if you would use volume automation, you could hear, like, there's a big change in track. You know, the highs went away and everything went away. But this is, like, a perfect thing to sit things into the mix.
Let me ask you this one, because you kind of brought it up there. Tell me about the stock plugins with Ableton. Do they offer a lot, and how good are they? Because I know I'm going to ask you in a little bit here about other tools you use, but how good are the stock plugins, and what do they give you?
They're very good, but they're, I would say, they're not as, I mean, you have to work a little bit harder to get the sound you want out of them. But when once you learn them, they're amazing. You can replace everything with them, almost everything, I would say. I won't say everything because there's obviously great plugins out there. But they're really good. They don't seem that way when you start using them because maybe they didn't give you the presets you really like. So you have to put in a little bit of work to get them to work. But once you get the whole of it, it's amazing. There's also one thing about plugins. Ableton has a separate program which they've implemented into Ableton 10, which is out now. It's called Max for Life, and Max for Life is basically a program language for plugins, and users, any user around the world, are submitting their solutions for problems or for maybe ideas they have, and some ideas are absolutely like extraterrestrial, you know.
And so when you say solutions
all free. So it's comparable to Reactor from Native Instruments. I think they have a database of users who produce plugins and stuff too, and that's comparable. But this is like integrated into Ableton. It seems like a like a native plugin when you put it in.
Does that mean that people are producing actual plugins in the Max for Life language, like a compressor?
Yes.
Or they're just like contributing presets for existing plugins?
It's plugins. Really? It's actually tools, plugins. It's like devices you would never think of. It's like, you know, people get very creative. They're like painters. They have like an idea. I need something to do this for me exactly, and they go into it and they program it. I mean, there's almost anything you can think of, and even like things you would never think of are on there. So,
and is there some sort of a community that Ableton hosts, and it's like free, and you can just go on there and search and download?
It's a database, searchable. You have also companies that make Max for Life plugins, which are payable, but they're not that expensive, and they're again, like out of this world. They're like really crazy stuff.
Well, and it's just like anything, the community will tell you if something's worth buying, so you'll know pretty quickly if it has, you know, 2,000 5-star reviews or whatever the heck their system is.
You can sort by downloads, by reviews, by anything. It's true.
Let me switch gears a bit, just because, you know, we're getting on in time here. Aww. And I want to get everything in.
Okay.
You told me that you have a list, or you came up with, you've listened to my podcast quite a bit, and then you've also, you know, we were at conferences together and you've heard people talk. You have some plugins or tools that you haven't really heard many other people talk about. I'd like to hear some of those.
Yeah, sure, definitely. One that pops into mind immediately, and it's free, and it's, I think, very, very usable for any imaging guy, may it be the biggest guy out there or a beginner. It's called OTT, and it's made by Steve Dada. I think I pronounced it correctly. It's the guy behind Serum. I think everybody knows this plugin. It's like it's the biggest.
Serum is
So he made this plugin, I don't know how many years ago, and he just dropped it on his site as a free thing. It's basically an abbreviation. Is that a right word? For over the top. And what it is, it's a multiband compressor, and it can get really crazy, nasty. But what it does to the voice, what I really, really like, is it brings out those sweet high frequencies. You know, it makes it cut through the mix very, 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 very good and very, very quickly. You get good results very fast, and it's free. You know, why not? Why not try it?
It's the initials, OTT.
OTT, over the top, yeah.
Okay, awesome.
And it's I know it's used by many famous EDM producers, because it gets stuff done really quickly. Like, they process their leads and stuff. So they pop out of the mix. This was kind of the intention, to get a tool that helps you get things to pop out of the mix. And if you use it on a voiceover, it's beautiful. It just like cuts through everything.
You use it radio imaging voiceover a bit, and you like the effect of that.
I love it. I love it. I must admit, my voiceover game, I mean my voiceover processing game is weak. I'm gonna be completely honest. It's weak because I'm concentrating on other stuff more, and I should be concentrating on that stuff more, but I will. I promise. I will get better at it. I will.
So, nice. Cool. What else do you like?
What else? I lost the train of thought again. Let's go into, I have those labeled as FSU, which means fuck shit up, right? Yeah.
Okay.
One of those plugins which I really use a lot in my productions is called Tantra, and it's by Dimitri Shes, or DS Plugins, I think is the company. I'm not sure right now. And basically it's a gating machine, but it's a multi processor gating, filtering, delaying everything machine, and it works really well with long things. So you have like a reverb tail, or like a vocal that you stretched out and you want to gate it and you want to add some interesting effects or textures to it. It really helps well. I use it for transitions between songs, or maybe I use a vocal and stretch it out, and then I put it through that, and it makes like a really nice rhythmic effect out of it. I really love it. I use it, I wouldn't say always, but a lot of times. And I haven't heard people mention it. And
I was going to say, I don't think I've heard that one mentioned. I'm looking it up right now to see if it's even familiar to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, awesome. Cool. I got it.
Yeah, then I really use a lot. My go-to delay plugin is Echo Boy Jr. by Soundtoys. What I really like about it is the the several types of delay that it has. And I always try to use plugins out of what they're intended to be used for. I try. I'm not always succeeding, but sometimes I do, and I try if I can. And for this plugin, And for this plugin, I used those algorithms it has, those delay algorithms, for processing. So for voice processing, for example, I put a voice through it, and then I layer that voice underneath the original voice to get like a stereo effect or maybe a distortion. And what I do is I just mix on full, feedback on zero, what else? Time also on zero, so it's almost in sync. If it's not, you can print it out and just align it a few milliseconds back. And it has really nice processing in it. It all, again, it makes the voice cut through. It has like this, I think it's transistor or something like that is the setting, and it's really, it works great.
Do you use the whole Sound Toys bundle?
Yes.
Or did you just pick and choose? Yeah.
I have it. I didn't get into it like everything. When I got it, I immediately tried everything, but I'm not using it always. I use the Psy EQ. It's really smooth and really nice. I love it. I use Filter Freak for a specific because I love filters. I'm crazy for filters, and has a really nice cut through sound too. And I use it for when I get acapellas that are not that are DIY, they are not studio acapellas. Most of the times I put it through that filter to get like a telephone effect, you could say, but that telephone effect really cuts through, and it masks the bad quality acapella. And I use that filter most of the times for stuff like that to cover things up. Then it's Iris from Isotope. Mm-hmm. Iris from Isotope is a synth basically, but it also you can drop in your own samples. And what's special about it is that it has a spectrum analyzer, and you can use that spectrum. I mean, you can choose which part of the spectrum the plugin will play. And I use it mostly for song brandings where I can't find like the perfect synth that would match, would create logos for like a branding, song branding. I can't find the exact synth and stuff. And then I just go into the track, I find the synth, I try to extract like the meat
the
part.
Cleanest
the
sample.
Cleanest, yeah, the cleanest sample and the meat part so that it resembles the original song, and then I layer it with some other synths maybe. But that plugin really helps me get this out clean, you know, and it also has pitching and everything. I mean, you just choose that sample and then you can play it across the keyboard, which is great. And the sound is
absolutely
really good, and it has lots of nice effects. And yeah, I use that a lot. And I just want to mention the guru who does things like in perfect way is Small Paul from Imaging Blueprint. He's I call those people extraterrestrial, you know. It's not in a derogatory or any, it's like in the most uplifting way possible, because they do stuff that's for me humanly very, very difficult or maybe even impossible, you know. And he's one of those guys, because when I hear those logos that he does, it's like the original producer would come and say, okay, I'm going to make a logo now. And yeah, it's crazy. And I mean, I sometimes catch it. I can get really, really close.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes I mimic it, or sometimes I just, when I give up, I just say, okay, I'm going to find a synth that's similar, that meshes well with the song. And then I just use a different synth, because this is just like, this is crazy.
Let me ask you this about plugins or bundles.
Yeah.
You, by the way, those are a few really cool plugins that people may or probably have not heard of before, much less used. So that's excellent. If you were told you could buy one bundle, I don't care what company it is, I don't care what bundle, I don't care what you're using it for, but which bundle? So if you're forced to just get one, and let's keep that price sort of down, you know, a few hundred dollars most, what would you get your hands on?
That's an interesting question. Let me think about that. $200, you say?
I don't know. You know, I don't know what the currency exchange is for you.
Yeah,
I mean, you're on the euro.
I'm just thinking what that
a few hundred
be.
Euro. A few hundred euro.
Mm-hmm.
For example,
are we talking effects, or are we talking synths?
Well, I'll give my answer.
Okay.
And now I would love to own, for example, the Sound Toys bundle. It wouldn't be my first choice if I only have one bundle. I own a lot of Isotope products, but I don't know that they actually have a bundle. Anyway, I would wait for a sale, but I would grab, at minimum, the Waves Gold bundle, and probably I would get my hands on the Waves Diamond bundle, which is the one that I actually do own and use.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, you know, that's because for me, from a radio imaging standpoint, where, again, that's where my brain is, it's going to offer the most tools that I would use the most often. So, you know, you're not getting a lot of those really trendy, cool synths in there and a lot of the music production.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
You know what? You know, bang for buck, I would go with Logic Pro X.
Okay. I've heard the plugins in Logic are great.
Absolutely. So. You get like a full sample library of very, very usable instruments. You get very good synths. You get very good plugins. And you get a DAW with it for like $200, which is like insanely cheap. So I think I would, if I would have to choose like
that's
only
probably
one
a
thing,
good answer.
I would go with
that's
that.
That's a better answer than mine. Yeah, and to be totally honest, I'd probably just buy Pro Tools because the Avid bundle you get is very good.
Yeah.
So I think you cheated, actually. No, that's cheating.
That's
you can't
cheating.
Say
you're,
a
right. And... You're right. It's cheating. So let me think. A couple of hundred. Wait.
Or how about this? Forget the processing or the DAW, but if you just want, you know, music-based plugins, you know, something that comes with some synths or just whatever, whatever the more music-based
Omnisphere.
Plugin. Omnisphere.
Yes.
Okay. Spectrasonics.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, man. Awesome. Man, we are, you know, we could probably talk here for another hour, right?
Are we done? No.
Well, no, not quite. I got a couple more questions
to... Oh, my
God.
This went so fast, man. Come on.
Let me ask you these few things left here. The future of radio, I like to get this perspective, especially from my international guests, because I can hear Americans tell me how they think the radio is going in the toilet, you know, five times a day. And,
okay.
I would respectfully disagree with them, by the way. But from your perspective, obviously, you're not going to give me somebody else's perspective. With the future of radio, 5, 10, 20 years from now, what do you think radio will be?
I can answer what happened. I was this year I attended Radio Days for the first time in my life. It was an amazing experience. And the biggest message there was and the most talked panel there was a guy from the U.S., I think. No, he was British and he's living in the U.S. now. And his message was radio is dead. But audio is in its golden age, which is actually a very good, I think, a very good message, right, for us,
mm-hmm.
because we're mm-hmm. in the audio media spectrum. So maybe the format that's happening right now with radio, how they deliver the music, how everything is happening, this will maybe have to adjust a little bit. Because if you compare how music is delivered via streaming services and maybe YouTube, it's pretty much, I'm not saying it's the same, but it's very, very similar to how radio delivers music, right? It's one song after another. They have it mixed, they have some elements in between, they have talk in between, but like the gist of it, you could say it's pretty similar. So what I think is an advantage that radio has over streaming services, and I'm not saying that because I'm a producer, but I think production is a big, big plus which should be taken advantage of to not fight, but to distance radio itself from streaming, to not be the same, to be a different experience for a listener. You know, a listener will choose, like, okay, I don't want anything of that, I just want simple music, and I will play a streaming service. If I want something else, I will put on radio. I will get the infos, I'll get maybe some entertainment, some fun, and I'll get music, I don't know, delivered in a different way. And this is what I think has to be, or should be, I'm not saying this is going to save radio, but this is something we could work on, you know, we could improve that.
Yeah, I've always said that radio certainly has a personality where streaming services do not and probably will not and can't.
You have to ask yourself, sometimes a listener doesn't want any personality. They just want to listen to songs without any interruption.
For sure.
And streaming services give that to them, no doubt.
Absolutely.
And streaming services can also deliver it in a probably better way because they're backed by AI, which a radio cannot be because it's a mass medium and it's not tailor-made for a person. But what I think radio has the advantage of over AI-based music and everything, I mean, AI-based music selection, is the surprise element. And if you're a fan of the radio station, if you're a fan, like I am a fan of Studio Brussels, you will trust your radio station, which you're a fan of, that they will deliver the music that you like. Or even if they don't deliver a song, I mean, if they deliver a song that you don't like, you'll go like, okay, that's just another song that, you know, they think that's good. For me, it's not good, but the next song or the next few songs is going to be good. Because I trust this radio station, because I, you know, they're my friends. They do stuff that I like. So.
Yeah.
And I listened to Stephen Lemons, and he said, like, sending the listener away to the to the streaming services, and then when they will see that there's something missing, they will come back. And I think that that will happen. Right now, it's good because they're not interrupted by commercials. They're not, you know, it's tailor-made. It's not, but I think it will come back. It will, with time, it will come back. And production can help giving the listener a different experience than they're experiencing now. That's my view.
Yeah.
Not because only because I'm a producer, but also because I'm a producer. But I think...
And you're a fan of radio.
Yes. Yeah. I love radio. And I think...
And you consume non-radio too, just like me. So
I do. Actually, I do.
Yeah. Let's see. I want to spend just a minute on this. You had mentioned something about your sort of next big thing, a service that you're going to be... What can you tell me about this that you're working on?
This is like... I could say it's a dream of me. And it sparked out of this... out of this thing, like, how can radio not... I won't say war or fight or anything, but how can radio just be like a completely different thing than that streaming services provide nowadays? And it's the way... I'm a big fan of flow and like connecting things together in a seamless way and stuff.
Sure.
And this is the way I'm working on. Like, I'm trying to develop a perfect fusion between songs that the listener won't be disturbed by, and that the listener won't have to be disturbed by imaging, which sometimes can be a disturbance to the listener if he just wants to listen to a song. Like, you could add imaging incorporated more into the song that it will be less intrusive, like a jingle or a sweeper, which actually stops the program and then starts it new. I'm working on a thing like that to like make a smooth, seamless flow of a playlist. And yeah, I mean, I have some examples. I'm working on it for a too long time now, I would say. But
yeah,
this is the self-conscious part where I like think, okay, this is not good enough. I have to work on this more. And I pitched this idea to a few chosen stations. And they were all, yeah, man, this sounds great, but I don't know. So you know how radio functions sometimes. Radio it can be very conservative, you know, set in their ways.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Not like, not, you know, we're afraid, what's this going to do? But change is good. Change is happening right now. And I think that radio should move a bit faster than it's moving right now.
I love it. I think that's a good little summary of what it is, and we'll look forward to getting more.
I didn't really tell a lot. I didn't really tell a lot, but you know, you can probably guess from what I do. I try to fuse songs together in a perfect way, and this is what I try to bring into, like, not I won't say mainstream, but like that this would be more prominent in a radio station. You know.
Yeah, I'll definitely throw it on the blog. We'll check in with you again in the future. Like many of my guests, we could talk for hours. And
Why don't we? I'm asking you.
You know what? I'm hungry and you need to sleep. Well, actually, no, it's not that late.
It's not that late.
Anyway. let me finish it off with a question I like to ask. You can answer this however you want, and you may have already answered it.
Oh, I know what's coming.
A piece of advice for everybody looking to do what you do and be what you are, what is the one key piece of advice?
First of all, you gotta love radio. This is the first piece of advice. If you love radio, your passion will develop into something that you will think you can add or you can bring to radio, and you will start seeking ways of how to get there. And I think also if you talk about it, doors will open up. So you just got to show passion, I guess, be present. That's what everybody says.
Yeah.
And try it yourself, you know, listen to stuff. And if you're interested in that, try to replicate it. Try to watch tutorials, try to contact people. Like, everybody's available today. You can talk to almost anybody anywhere in the world. So I think, yeah, follow your passion. That's a very generic way of saying things, but that's actually what I did. And I had a few lucky interactions, but that's because I was following my passion, and I was present in the moments, and things just happened.
Yeah, man. That's awesome. You sort of mentioned it, nickschmon.com, N-I-K-S-M-O-N.com.
Yes.
Can people reach out to you? I mean, you Absolutely. Have a nice, simple, clean website, but can people shoot you a message and ask you questions and send you audio or whatever?
Absolutely. Whenever. Nice. I have a special section where they don't even have to write anything in the subject, just select something and just send it my way.
Yeah.
I'd love to talk about it.
Hey, Nick, man, you're awesome. I appreciate you you doing this. I know it took us a while to get connected, but you know, you do great work. Nickschmon.com. Am I seeing your name? How close am I now? Nick Schmon.
93.
How close is that?
93.
Yep. All right. Some one of these days. You're on LinkedIn. You got a LinkedIn profile, I noticed.
I do.
You got the SoundCloud, and you're going to put more updates on that soon.
I do. I'm updating the site right now because it needed an update, and because you contacted me, I went back into my like history and stuff and found a lot of stuff actually for me too, which I was like, oh my god, I did this sounds great, I should put that somewhere up. So I will update my SoundCloud, I will update my website with some audio stuff, and maybe write a bit more about me. So
And you're on the Twitter. You're on the Twitter.
I have a Twitter. I won't say I'm.
You have a Twitter.
I'm
a good
on.
Point. You have a Twitter profile.
Yes.
I'll have all of this linked. I'll make a show notes page for you as well, because you gave me a bunch of good pictures. There's a lot more audio to hear. I'll post the full demo you gave me, some of the stuff that I played in the show too,
cool.
and all these links on the show notes page on the website. All right, that'll do it, man. I think we did it. I think we nailed this one. We got it. So, Nick, I'll say one last time, thank you so much for being on the show. I really appreciate your time.
The pleasure was all mine, Ryan. Thank you for having me. And I'd love to continue, like, I don't know, for 3 hours more. I have more stuff to talk about. I mean, I don't get always the chance, you know, to talk with people. And I also don't, I don't open up that much. And with you, I could open very well. And it, like, it just keeps going. It just keeps going. And that's great. I love that.
Yeah, that's good. one of these days, I'll get out there and check out the beautiful sights of Slovenia.
Definitely. Wow, look at you, 97.
Visit ryandreen.com to subscribe, contact the show, and listen to every episode. Please rate and review the Producers Podcast on iTunes or on your favorite podcast app.
The Producers Podcast with Ryan Dreen.